One hand speaks. Yeah, that's right. I can't find my arm. Podcast episode 120. Hey, 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 my friends, Alejandro Anastasio here, One Hand Speaks Storytelling Podcast. And if you're listening to my string of five podcasts, then you know in my last one I spoke about not being able to find my arm, which is always a funny phrase to be heard by two-handed people. Sometimes in the past when I've lost my arm, I've just said that, oh, I can't find my arm. And then people kind of turn and say, we don't hear that often. But it's true. I just recently found it. I was in my storage unit today. And I've been packing up and doing things, moving. I'll get to that in a minute. But nonetheless, yes, this is one of the longest periods I've gone without being able to find my arm. And even though I didn't really use it for probably 7 years, I always knew where it was at, where it was located. I could always find it. And I would think, oh, there's my arm that I never use because basically I'm not bicycling. And I typically only use that when I bicycle. And for many years, it was simply duct taped and tied to my bicycle. That always drew funny looks too. Yeah, my artificial arm was just permanently adhered to my bicycle because that's when I used it. Now, you know what I would like to do is have a pair of custom handlebars built that met my short side. I think that would be really cool, and maybe sometime down the road, but this podcast is mostly about not being able to find my arm, losing my arm, I can't find my arm, where is my prosthetic arm? This has been a lifelong occurrence, issue, lack of mindfulness, whatever you want to call it, quality trait, personality trait, quirk. Yes, I have trouble finding my arm at times. Now, people ask me how I could lose something like that. Well, basically, if it comes off your body, you're going to lose it. You take off your shoes, you misplace them. Take off your belt, can't find it. Watches, rings, jewelry, shirts, coats, anything. And because of that, that very common phrase pops up. Oh, I'd lose my head if it wasn't attached to my body. Well, you know what? Yes, you would. Yeah, I've lost it many, 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 many times. And then this time around, I've been trying to find it because I want to start bicycling again. And yeah, I can put a bicycle together. I'm going to get mine fixed here in the next couple days. I'm building another bicycle. But without that arm, I cannot be that efficient. I cannot be that efficient. So I've been looking for it for quite some time, really ever since I started thinking about bicycling again. And I was going to get my bike ready, the one I've been riding for the last, 25 years, that Diamondback that I got in 1989. I still have that frame. Got it on the campus of Indiana University. That thing means a lot to me. Yeah, I was looking at that and I realized, oh yeah, that's right. I have all that duct tape on there. That's where my prosthetic hook adheres to. And I need to find that thing. So I kind of just been looking for it here and there, you know, a couple days go by and I'm like, oh, let me look here. And I live in a very small apartment. My mother and I live together. I take care of my mother. She just had knee replacement surgery. I should probably do a podcast on that. But yeah, she just had knee replacement surgery last week, and I've been taking care of her. So I'm spending a little more time at home, and I'm looking through all the boxes that are here. And every now and then, I just wish I could find my arm. And about a month and a half ago, 2 months ago, maybe even longer, we moved. We downsized apartments. My brother moved out. So therefore, we had to move out pretty quick. we put a bunch of stuff in boxes, and then we put those boxes and a bunch of stuff into our second storage unit. I don't like having two storage units, but it's mostly a staging area and a holding ground. By the end of this month or within the week of the next month, I will be out of that storage unit. But I put a bunch of stuff in there somewhat randomly, and then I'm trying to get all that stuff out of the smaller second storage unit into our permanent larger storage unit, and stuff's just getting piled up in there. I'm trying to be organized, but somewhere along the line, even while I was looking for my arm, I thought about 10 days ago I was going to find it. I thought, oh, I haven't looked here in my apartment. It's got to be here. Wasn't there. Looked in some other boxes that we stashed away. Nowhere to be found. I was actually quite clueless. And then I realized, oh no, I probably packed it in one of the boxes. I didn't clearly label it. I put that box in the small storage unit. And then I've been restacking and organizing the large storage unit so it could be completely buried, completely buried. So we were at, some students from the Dharma Center came out to help me, Savannah and Tyler. We were out at the storage unit trying to consolidate, trying to get everything out of the storage unit, small one, into the big one. Now, okay, I'm just side storing here. I'm just side storytelling here. I have, and this is my podcast tomorrow, I have a 1967 Schwinn Mini Twin. That's a tandem, a Stingray tandem Schwinn from 1967, all original. That bicycle is like 8.5 feet long, 20-inch rims, weighs a ton, and has a huge footprint. That thing takes up so much space, I can't believe it. I'm trying to consolidate everything into one storage unit. That's kind of a thing. So here we are working it. I'm with Savannah and Tyler, and I'm just looking through all these boxes. And it actually is kind of affecting them because they're there. They are there to help me get everything into the other storage unit, but I got to do it. It's got to be well packed, well organized. I can't just throw everything in there. And at the same time, I'm trying to look for my arm. And I've been through that small storage unit a number of times. I thought for sure 5 days ago I was going to find it. And then even 3 days ago, I took a deep, deep look solo. But I thought, you know what? When I'm with Tyler and Savannah, I'll find it in the short one, in the small storage unit, and then we'll take care of it. But no. No, no, no. We had no luck whatsoever finding it in the small storage unit. So finally, when we got to the big storage unit, yeah, I opened up that door and we were just looking in there, and I was just taking a moment, and it slightly set Savannah back a little bit because she's like, well, Alejandro, what are you doing? And I said, well, I'm just trying to figure out where my arm is. I can't find my arm. And even Savannah kind of looked over at me and thought, what do you mean? And then I realized, oh, you guys have never seen me wear an artificial arm. And I said, yes, I have an artificial arm. I have a prosthetic hook that I wear when I'm bicycling, and I kind of need to find it. And it's funny, we all had a little snicker about the whole scenario. And then there we were just looking. I was just looking into the abyss of my storage unit. Basically, I was using the force. I thought, oh, okay, I just need to zero in on this. And it's so funny. It's so funny because I have one of those old school little Yoda dolls that has up to 40 answers to any yes or no question. And every now and then when we get to the storage unit, we all take turns asking Yoda a question. But in that moment, I was just trying to let the force flow through me. I am one with the force. The force is with me. Which is one of my favorite phrases from Rogue One, the Star Wars story. One of my other favorite phrases is when Jin is hanging out, when she first meets one of the guards of the Kyber Temple, and he was leaving, and she said to him, or he said to her, the strongest stars have hearts of Kyber. So there I am hanging out with Yoda, trying to let the force flow through me, trying to isolate, figure out, feel the force, feel where my arm is, because I could spend 3 days unpacking that thing, looking through all those boxes, trying to find this, and I realize I should have just been paying more attention up front. And I even knew before I moved a few months ago that I wanted to start a bike, and I should have just kept the arm somewhere. And I thought I did. That was the problem. And then when I needed to find it, it had already been packed. And now I'm looking at all these boxes, and I thought, okay, where could it be? And I just happened to see this one box that's a little out of the ordinary sitting on my original seats from my 1987 Camaro that I got from my dad when he passed away. And I thought, you know what? I need to climb up there. I need to climb up there and take a look in that box because it could be in there. And you know what? I climbed up there. It took some work to get there. And then I lifted off the lid of that box, and there it was, my prosthetic arm. Oh, and I was just like, wow! Actually, I was screaming a lot louder, but I'll max out the microphone here. And Savannah and Tyler were like, oh, did you find it? And I said, yes, I did. And I that was a huge relief. And even Tyler looked at my arm, and he's like, hey, is that carbon fiber? He said, you know, this is probably not the kind of thing that you just walk into a store and buy. No, it can take months to get one of those things. And I don't want to lose that time bicycling, so I was so glad to find it. And then it's funny because they're like, so you, how long have you been looking for it? And I said, probably about a month. It's the longest I've ever had to look for my arm. And they thought, they looked at themselves and then kind of looked at me and said, so this has happened before. Oh, yes. I have lost my arm many, many times in many capacities. You know, just misplacing it in my house for a few minutes is one thing. Sometimes it's under a cover or I tuck it away somewhere. It might be harder to find, that kind of thing. But I have some pretty interesting experiences about losing my arm. And one of them that I want to share is this one's great because I used to work in the Pike Place Market, world-class chili, Jack's Fish Spot. I worked at a couple other places there. And I loved working in the Pike Place Market. It's a very special place to work, very special place to visit. Just has a unique American flavor that's just super cool. I used to ride my bike to work every day, and then I had my artificial arm, this kind of thing. And one day, I just couldn't find my arm. And I thought, you know what? I don't know how it happened because I biked to work, or maybe I took the bus. I'm not quite sure. But when I got home, I thought, you know what, where's my arm? And then I couldn't really remember the last time I saw it. And then probably, because I recall going to the market with it, but then I had no idea, totally blacked out what happened to it. And this was kind of a big one, because at that time, I had no insurance. I wasn't quite sure how I would get another one, and I was clueless. I mean, I'd called all my friends, all the places I was hanging out, Bottom Bracket, you know, Niles and Stacy's house. I called my friend Todd. I called my friend Shane. I called my friend Scott, Jim, everyone. Everyone at that time in Seattle. Nowhere to be found. Nowhere. And after about a week, I started freaking out. Because I thought, oh, I might not ever find this. My arm could be totally gone, totally gone. And then I was at work one day. I was talking to somebody about it because he's like, Alejandro, are you okay, man? You look a little like distracted. And I said, you know, this is going to sound really weird, but I can't find my arm. And he started laughing. This is when I was at the chili parlor. He started laughing. He's like, you know what? I would be a little distracted too. If I had to make that phrase. And it was so funny because I was just talking to this guy. He worked at the market. And I was like, you know, I kind of remember coming to the market, but I have no idea what happened to it. Like, I kind of thought maybe somebody stole it, right? And he said, you know, you might want to go to the lost... You might want to go to the lost and found, like here in the market, because sometimes people turn things in or security guards find stuff and you'd be amazed. And I thought, you know what? That is a great idea. And I went down to the lost and found. I had never been to the lost and found at the Pike Place Market. It was a pretty big room of stuff. And I said, hey, this is going to sound a little weird. And it's funny because he could see my body. He could see my arms. I was like, you know, this is going to sound a little weird. And he's like, yeah, hold on. And he left and he came back with my arm. He's like, yeah, one of the security guards showed up with this like 6 days ago. And we thought we should hang on to it. And I asked him, I was like, well, where did he find it? And because they have to catalog all this information. And he said, you know, we found it in the bathroom, the bathrooms down on the second floor to the right that mostly like all the employees use. And it was like, it was hanging on the coat rack inside the stall. And it's so funny because as soon as he said that, I remember hanging up my hook on the coat rack inside the stall. And I took care of business, cleaned up, and just went to work. I didn't even think about it. And I had done that before. That reminds me of another story. I had done that before because I used to visit this bar. I don't remember what bar it was, but you know, sometimes bars have like coat hooks underneath the bar a little bit. So you sit on the bar stool and you can put your coat down where your legs are at. And there was a small like inset ledge there based on the designs. It was perfect for hanging my hook. And I just remember, I just now remember that I couldn't find my hook for a couple days. Yeah, I couldn't find my hook for a couple days. And then I came into that bar and this bar, the one of the waitresses, she's like, oh, hold on. I think I got something that belongs to you. And she showed up around the corner with my artificial arm and everyone started laughing. Everyone started laughing. I was like, yep, that is definitely mine. You know, and she even asked me, she's like, how can you lose this? And I said, well, if you can take it off, you can lose it, right? Have you ever lost your shoes or your coat or your belt or backpack or anything you can put down, purse? And she said, okay, enough said. Yeah, that's great. Okay, here's another story. When I first moved to Seattle, when I left Indiana University, and my very good friends there at Indiana University, when I left to move to Seattle, I ended up moving in with these two guys, Niles and Stacy, and we're still friends today, just like my good friends from Indiana University and some of my good friends from high school and grade school and from around the town. Boat, that's all I got to say. Squazzy, Richie Rich, Rich Monroe, my man, we grew up together. John Klimak, how about Doug E. Fresh? The list is long. Jim Leyba, let's go. Okay. Still communicate with these guys. But I was living with Niles and Stacy, and we were hanging out, and it was probably, I probably couldn't find my arm for a day and a half. And I was just kind of walking around this kind of thing, and Niles was there, and he's like, hey, Dro, what are you looking for? I was like, you know, this is going to sound really weird, but I can't find my arm. And Niles was great. He's like, oh, okay, hold on. And he got up and started walking towards the kitchen. So I followed him and he opened up this cupboard and pulled out my arm. And I was like, what is it doing there? And he said, that's exactly what I was thinking. I don't know why it was in there, but there it was. And I figured since it's in there, there must be a good reason. So I just kind of left it there. And it's funny because I started laughing and he's like, well, what's so funny? I said, well, you know, I was up on a chair trying to grab something out of the cupboards and I was hindered by my artificial arm. So I just took it off and put it in there because that was the easiest thing to do. And then finally, when I got to what I wanted, I kind of forgot about it and just got down and went on doing my thing. So total space cadet. And then years later, when I moved to Boise, Idaho, I had a couple, Nate and Gene, they were a couple, and I was good friends with Nate. And Nate had a party, and there were a bunch of people at this party, and probably had a few too many beers. But I couldn't find my arm. This was at a party, you know, one minute I had it, next minute I didn't. So now I was looking around. I was like, oh, man, where's my arm, you know? And then somebody was like, Alejandro, what are you looking for? I'm like, well, I don't really want to say. I can't find my arm, you know, it's a blah, blah, blah. And then now we got 2-3 people looking for it. And then Nate comes over and he's like, what's going on? And I was like, well, Nate, I can't find my arm. And then Nate, like a just like a miracle working banshee, just screamed at the top of his lungs. He's like, all right, party needs to come to a stop. Alejandro can't find his arm. And then everyone just paused for a moment and they all kind of tilted their head like that was weird. And I lifted up my arms like, well, does it make sense now? And then everybody started scurrying around. And within 2 minutes, somebody found my arm. And you know where it was? It was in a bottom cabinet under the sink because I was doing something in there and I had to take it off to have more maneuverability and dexterity and all that. And I forgot all about it. Yeah, it's funny. You know, and it's funny. I used to think, oh, maybe I'm the only one that has this problem. But of course, if items come off your body, you can lose them. And I don't know what show it was. I had seen it a long, long time ago. It was about subway systems, like a documentary on subways or New York subways. I'd actually seen it twice, probably 10 years apart. And I remember the second time I saw it, I thought, oh, that's so cool because I remember seeing this the first time. But it was some kind of documentary on New York subways, and they're just showing the cars and the subway system and the conductor's boxes and just all the parts of the subway. And then the guy that was leading the tour, the head of the documentary, like, was like, okay, let's go into this big room. And they had this giant, it seemed like a warehouse room. And there was a guy down there working at a desk. And you know, the documentary crew approached him and asked him, what's your job? And he said, my job is New York City subway lost and found. And this place was huge. And he's like, you'd be amazed what people leave in a subway. You know, and there's all the standard stuff. You'd figure coats and wallets and suitcases, just all kinds of shoes, standard stuff, all the standard stuff. And the guy's like, yeah, we even have some weird stuff. And he came around, you know, this shelving unit and he pulled out this artificial leg. He's like, how someone's going to lose this, I'll never know. And I laughed so hard the first time I saw that because I thought, oh, that's me. And obviously that happens to other people. Okay. I think losing a leg would be a little harder. You're just not going to walk away from that moment, right? Badoom, boom, shh. But hey, you know, leave it to me. I need a hand, right? Leaving my arm somewhere, how bizarre. But you know, the more relaxed I feel in my body, the more I enjoy not wearing a prosthetic arm. I have a link to a podcast called The Non-Bionic Me. Because right now there's a big movement towards bionic arms and things like that and hands. I just have no interest. I'm so comfortable in my skin and in my one-handed body, and I move so well and so free, and I really don't like wearing a prosthetic arm anymore. Except to ride my bicycle. And it's really amazing because you wouldn't think you'd lose something like that, but I do, and I have, and I did, and I'm sure I'll do it again. And I'll tell you what, I am so excited to have found my arm because I have all the repairs I need for my bicycle done. Tomorrow, all I need to do is change out the tires, get some lube in there, some Tri-Flow, wipe it down, clean it up, and I can start going for a test ride. And I am so excited to get on my bicycle. And this is great cause not to lose my arm anymore, at least to track it a little bit better. All right. Thanks so much, gang. That podcast ended up being twice as long as I had anticipated, but it's like that when you're telling stories. And okay, I got one more bicycling podcast coming up. Tomorrow I'm going to talk about my 1967 Schwinn Mini Twin. These bikes are rare. They're very rare, and to find them in all original condition is totally rare. There are some big Schwinn bicycle, classic Schwinn bicycle collectors here in Boise, and about a month ago when I broke that thing out to go to the Goathead Fest, Bicycle Goathead Fest bike parade here in Boise, these two guys approached me and said, you know, I've been collecting Schwinns for a long time, and I have never seen one of those. They only made them for a year and a half. 18 months, I think, was the run of the Schwinn Mini Twins. And I got this from the original owner who got it from his parents. And it's just, it's a sweet ride. And I don't want to give too much away. I'm going to get that podcast rolling. Thanks again for tuning in, my friends. Take a moment to be happy that I found my arm and I can get back on my bicycle. And in saying that, you know, hey, be well, be kind, and do more good things. Hey, thanks for tuning in. This is Alejandro with One Hand Speaks. Find me online at onehandspeaks.com and all your social media outlets.